Mr. Vorstius, Reel 11. You were telling me about how you, when you went out with the flotilla, you left Immingham.
Left Immingham and got down to the entrance to the River Humber. And you'd have, there'd be another one and sometimes three of you. Three destroyers. It's all according to what the convoy consisted of. And then you'd move off with them. Like you went round the mouth of the River Humber and told them to get into the position and all that sort of thing. And they had, because they had to do as they was told. And then, and one destroyer, if there was three of us, one would lead to their name. The other two would be going round like that, you know. Going round and they had these I forgot what it's called. You know, it's such a long time that you could hear a submarine if it was coming.
Oh, ASDIC.
Hey,
ASDIC.
Yes, ASDIC. And you could hear it if it was coming, if you were getting near one.
You never did that though, did you? You weren't an ASDIC operator at all.
No. So we know we would go like that, all, and keep their eyes on, no any periscopes poking up or any ship coming along, because the Norwegians are often sent one on their own and perhaps would have it torpedoed halfway around and sort of business like that. But at any rate, we took them to Newcastle. Before we got to Newcastle, the two destroyers would go straight to Newcastle itself. We would put on speed and get to Newcastle and get them out that's got to join with our convoy. And so we did that. Now, for the first 6 months doing this, we had to take them right up to Lerwick, from Immingham, Newcastle, further forth, and then up to Scapa Flow, and then right up to the Shetlands.
Now, were you picking up and dropping off ships all the way up this run, or were you just picking them up?
If they had to drop off, we were dropping off. But now, we don't know, we didn't pick any up. Didn't pick any up because it was like you had that convoy. Now you didn't want anything else interfering. But if you was told you'd have to pick up some more at Newcastle, you'd be prepared for it. And it didn't go to any more picking up any more. Now and again might be one from the further forth. So that would you be told about it.
So you called in at these ports to drop ships off?
Drop these ships off. But as a matter of fact, going up was very seldom any dropped off. They all went up because I was going to Norway and some was going up to the Scapa Flow to pick up a convoy there to America. You see?
Now, did you have any problems with keeping the merchant ships in station? Because I know there was some skipping.
No, and again, one or two would be a bit hanging behind.
What speed would they go in? How would they maintain position?
They'd do their, I suppose, roughly about 10 to 15 miles. It's all according to the size.
Is that miles or knots?
Miles.
And the destroyers, you say they sailed round, did they go round or?
Yes, we used to, there was two of us, one would go round for, round and see that everything was all right, and then take up his position leading them, and then perhaps we would go round and have a look at them and drop astern. for anything that's coming up behind and things like that.
And how many ships would you be convoying?
Well, it's never the same. It was never the same.
What range, then? What would the lowest be and what would the highest be?
Well, we had one, I don't remember, 25. 25 come out of Newcastle, and we're taking them up to America. They were taking them up to go to America.
And you just took them up to Scapa?
Pick up all the... Pick up from... so they went round to... around the north of Scotland and then on to... I don't know. And then, now and again, there'd be a few of them going up to Newcastle. The remainder would be going to Norway. We had a...
Sail in columns? Or would they just...
When we got them to Scapa Flow, there'd be another convoy, would take them.
But when they were sailing, would they sail in columns? You know, say I had 25 ships, would they be in columns or would they just sail higgledy-piggledy?
Oh, well, they'd be in columns. Keep them all according to their speed. So that we all had them all with the same speed.
What about at night? How did they maintain the formation at night?
Keep them going just the same.
How did they see where to go, so to speak? To maintain position?
Well, we would, or the other destroyer would just have his stern light on, leading them. That's all. No other light.
Would they be zigzagging?
No. No zigzagging. Not. Just simply going straight down. We would do the zigzagging. We did that for quite a number of months.
Did you take ships back from Newcastle and Lerwick and Scapa to London? I mean, did it go the other way?
No, we never went no further than Immingham. Grimsby. Down south. That was our base.
So you never took... Did ships ever come from, say, Newcastle to Immingham? Or did you take them the other way? I mean, at the moment you were talking about south to north convoy. Was there a north to south convoy?
There was east to west and west to east for Norway. But that didn't belong to us.
Did you bring ships south to north to south?
Oh, yes, we pick them up either at Scapa Flow or Cromarty or Newcastle. If there was any picked up, we picked them up and brought them along till we got to Newcastle. Then we would get them all out. One destroyer, one of us, would go in and get them ready to pick us up.
And then you'd take them as far as Immingham, would you?
So
it was a two-way convoy system between Immingham and Scapa Flow. Were you ever attacked during these convoys by any form of German...
Oh, we had a couple torpedoes.
Can you remember what happened exactly?
Well, the torpedo was fired at them from a submarine, and when we had to gamble... Sort of gamble where it came from. Perhaps they would know on the ship that was being torpedoed which way it came, where it would hit the ship. And we would go and drop a couple of depth charges and see anything. But we did get a submarine in then. I'll come to that later on.
If we talk then about the daily routine during this convoy, what would the day's work be like? Well, day and night while you're out on a typical trip.
When he was off, you just clean up the place, clean up the ship, and they never rest. You see, because there's only a few crowd, only about I forget exactly the number of seamen there was for lookout and. Guns and all that.
Well, take us through one watch. Say you're on a watch.
Yeah.
Say you're on first watch in the morning. What would the day be like for you when you were out at sea on this destroyer?
Well, you would be closed. We'll say at 8 o'clock. Started at 8 o'clock, and we closed up there till 12.
Closed up at action stations? Or
By a gun.
Well, was your action... What was your position when you were on that watch, 8 till 12, then? What was your job? Which gun were you on?
Well, on this one on the starboard side, one on the port side, and one forward.
And which
were
you on?
Well, the one on the forward was done by a proper gun layer. And I used to be either gun screw either side, you see. But you didn't stop by the gun. As soon as you got the hooter went, excuse me, you went to your gun. Because you know if there was a submarine coming along. Excuse me.
And which gun were you usually on, or did it vary?
No, I was on the port side. 12-inch one.
12-pounder?
12-pounder.
And how many crew would there be on a 12-pounder?
Three.
And what did each one do?
One would do the loading, and either one would do the guiding the
laying,
and the other one would supply the ammunition.
Where did they get the ammunition from?
Well, it was always handy.
And now, what was your job on this port side gun?
If I saw a submarine, and I was by a gun, I would take my turn and have a fire at it. But if I didn't see it and there was somebody else saw it, the gun's crew saw it, he would have a go, you see.
And you'd be the loader then?
Yeah. Aye.
So, you've gone on watch at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Now, say that action stations hadn't gone. What would you be doing? Would you just be on lookout?
Well, you would be on the upper deck. If it was your watch on, if it was port watch was on, you'd be on the upper deck. Not just to stop at a gun, but you'd be working on the upper deck. Star watch would be down below.
What sort of work would you be doing on the upper deck?
Well, not dirty. We didn't have deck, decks? No wooden decks. It was all metal. That had to be swept. Didn't wash it. Only time on my coal ship. Otherwise, it'll be rusting up and all that, you see.
So you just brushed it?
Brushed it up, yeah.
And what other jobs? You say you're out with a convoy, and you're on this 8 till 12 watch.
You're more or less on watch all the time.
Would you have binoculars or telescope or anything?
No. But if you thought you saw the watch of a periscope, you'd immediately sing out, periscope. Periscope, port side, starboard side, or starboard bow, port bow, things like that.
Would you give a degree, how would you say which direction?
Well, if it was on the port side, former side, and after. But at any rate,
you'd just be on lookout?
On lookout, yeah.
Would you have anything else to do while you're on the upper deck? While you were on convoy?
Well, no, there was nothing else to do really, because we only had the one gun forward, and one gun aft, and one gun either side, port and side.
So for 4 hours, you'd be on duty.
Yeah.
Look out. What would happen then? The other watch would come up, and what would you do? You'd go below up.
Go below then.
Would you get a meal?
Have a meal, and then might be in the afternoon. Make a mend. Afternoon,
While the others were up on deck.
Yeah. Mm.
Now, this meal, what messing system were you using? Were you using the same one where you prepare the food and take it to the cook?
Yeah, you had your cook. Your cook did it. That's one of the men. Mess cook, yes.
So he'd prepare the food, take it to the cooks, the real cooks, and they would heat it and give it back to you.
Yeah.
So you were still on that system?
Yes, oh yes.
And then you'd make and mend?
Make and mend, yes.
And then, so that's 12 till 4?
Yes.
And then at 4 o'clock, back on watch?
Back on watch, yes.
And how long would that be for? Another 4 hours?
Well, no, 2 hours.
That's the dog watches.
Dog watch, two dog watches, you see. So that it would alter it, but they come every day. It would alter, you see. If you did the 4 hours right off, well, it wouldn't be no good at all, you see.
So what happened after the dog watches?
If you weren't doing the second one, you were doing either the first or the second. But if you were doing the first one, you went on watch this again at 8 o'clock till 12. That's the first watch. The fella that done the 6 to 8, he'll do the midnight one, 12 till 4 in the morning.
What would you do during those watches on deck? Still be keeping lookout?
Lookout. He was mostly lookout all the time.
Was it very difficult to keep lookout at night?
It's all according to your own eyesight. I had good eyesight, and it was good. Any time I could see. The only thing you had to look mainly for was any spare lights. If you saw a ship that's coming that had no lights at all, but somebody strikes a match or something like that, you see, you had to watch for that sort of thing.
What would you do if you saw it?
Report it immediately, and had to give the exact bearings of it. That's like if you were still going along just nicely, you know what I mean? If you're turning round and round in circles or anything like that, you see, you would know where you've seen it before. But that's all that there is. As soon as you've seen any light, you report it immediately.
Did the actual convoy ships have lights? The ships in the convoy, would they show a tail light?
No.
How did you keep station then?
Well, you had to keep station with more or less. It wasn't the light; it would be something white or some kind of colour that would be shown in the dark. I don't know for certain when you had a big convoy. Like the merchant ship, especially the merchant ship, one of them, the rear one, of the one, would have his stern light on. But that's the only one, you see.
But they kept station pretty well, did they?
Kept station pretty well, yes. Yes. They were given the exact speed, not to go more or less. So that we knew exactly where they were if anything happened. We used to do the same speed as them. And unless we found them not doing their job properly, then we'd have to go and tell them to do their job, get on their routine properly.
Did you find it very tense work, you know, this routine of going up and down the East Coast?
Well, I don't know what you mean by tense, but at times it was very nice. Because, you know, especially during the day, you would see, especially with a convoy, you're not very far from the coast, you see. So that should any of them get torpedoed, they're easily taken ashore. And saved, you see. That was the idea. But when you didn't see it, like when he was a long way away, well, you had to just look at what the convoy was doing or watching them, and then should they make a run, you had to report him, or he reported the officer watching, and he would have to make a signal to him to get position right or something like that, you see.
Did you feel under threat at all from the enemy?
To be candid, no. Submarines, but I've only had a couple of times that, and not talking about the one that we sunk, but there was one that had been reported, but I think we saw it must have been just coming up to see what was he doing and down again, something like that. The one we sunk is like it's different altogether.
Do you want to tell? Was that when was that? Could you tell me about that?
Yeah, we had a convoy. We picked up a convoy from the further forth that had come across from Norway. Been brought over by another convoy, you see, and we picked that up and brought it, was bringing it down to Newcastle for some ships, not all of them, some ships went into Newcastle. And then Dallas would, they'd all go in until we got them all together that was being sent out as well, not only from Norway, but from Sweden or somewhere like that. You would pick them up, you see. And we came out of the convoy had their orders what time to get underway in Newcastle itself, what time, and told when to leave. That was the main thing, it was told when to leave. And when they was going out, we would be by the, not outside, but near the entrance, and watched them. Well, we picked up the last one, and I really couldn't say exactly the distance, but I should think we was about 300 yards from the ship itself. When a submarine fired a torpedo and it went up in the air, the ship. The skipper happened to see it and he made for the submarine right immediately, full speed, because there was, when them anything like that, see, all day long they're told stand by for full speed, should anything happen. Well, when they give that, when he got the order, they did move pretty fast too. And we caught the ship when it was just going down again for the second time. And the skipper dropped four depth charges on it. And we still went on and then turned around. When we turned around, it was surfacing again. And the captain immediately, when he saw it surfacing, he made straight for it to ram it, which he did. And he rammed that submarine. UB-110 was the number. I've always remembered it. UB-110. And because him ramming that submarine, he stopped absolutely dead still. And it was regrettable, but it was done, and nobody wouldn't. Two depth charges was dropped in the water when the crew was in the water, and of course there was a big do over it. But it was war is war, and you're getting your own back on anything that's happened to you. You see, that's where it was.
Oh. What were you doing during all this? Were you on watch?
I was on watch, yes. So I was manning a gun. I manned a little 12-pounder it was. It was just a little one for what they used for stopping a ship from going too far or anything like that, or even seeing a submarine.
Did you see the whole action as you've just described it? Did you see what?
Practically the whole of it, yes. You see?
Did Did you fire the gun?
No, we didn't fire the gun because the submarine was ahead of us. Our skipper went straight for it, turned round immediately when he got past it after ramming it, turned round and then rammed it again. You see, we didn't want to use the gun. Oh, that was that.
Were there many people in the water? Were there many of the German sailors?
Yes. Some were about 15 or 16, I think. I know there was a, you know, when we looked at them, saw them trying to get on board of our ship, because theirs was going down gradually. Anyway, we had counted them and got them on board. And as soon as we got them on board, like it was one of the new destroyers, we had some big ones there with us, wasn't with us really, but there was one of them came along and took them all off because we had no room in the house.
How many were in the water and killed by the depth charge, and how many did you pick up?
I should think some were about 10, 12. In the water, picked up the depth charges.
Killed by the depth charges?
Yeah.
So there'd be about 28 in all?
Yes.
You say there was some trouble about that. What?
Well, the captain of the submarine, he was a survivor. And because he, when they like got his name and all that, and he was taken as a prisoner of war, he let it all out. And because the skipper, he got into trouble over it. But it was like everything else. You get your own back. It's time to get it, or rather, time to get your own back, and you took it, you see.
So did you and the rest of the crew support the captain in what he'd done?
Yes. Because the thing was that we was outside Newcastle and we should have been taken into Newcastle. But the captain himself had his wife down at Grimsby. And he knew that with ramming the submarine and smashing the ship up as it was, we'd have to go into dock. And he managed to get the senior officer present in Newcastle. He came out, and I suppose he spoke to him nicely and all this sort of thing. And then the captain said, all right, he got two tugs and towed us down to Immingham, stern first, all the way down.
How much damage had the ramming done?
Quite a good bit of the bows. Quite a good bit. It took us about exactly 5 months to get repaired properly and get back into our work.
When was this incident then? Can you place it?
Now then, I've often thought of it, because it was near my birthday. Although it wasn't on my birthday, it was near my birthday. July, it happened in July. 1917.
So... you're quite sure that's roughly when it was?
It was, 1917, yes. Aye.
So then you had 5 months?
Yes.
And what were you doing during the 5 months while the repairs were
being done? To keep the ship clean, even though the dockers were doing it, but there was always paintwork to be chipped and repaired, and or rather... you scrape the paint off and have some fresh paint put on and all that sort of thing.
You were still living on board then during that time?
Oh, yes, we lived on board, yes.
Were the whole crew retained?
Oh, yes.
And at the end of the 5 months, you went back to this same Immingham run?
On the same job. But by the time that we had got finished, we only did somewhere about three more trips, and the war finished. And I stopped in the ship. Well, we all stopped in the ship until...
How did you first find out that the war was over?
Oh, well, it's...
And what did you think of that?
All right. when that happened, we were pleased to leave that ship, you see, because it was really getting... we wanted more room. We'd already got used to it and all that.